Okay. All right, so it's been a while, so Taifim, Chulu, all good things. But I figured it's Kedai. We were technically towards the end of Tyra Yud, but it's been too long of a break. And the main text of Tyra Yud we already went through, it was more just the end where he ties it into a piece of Gemara and a Pasuk. So that we didn't do, but I figured it's Kedai to start a new piece. New Zman. So technically, officially, we're up to Torah Yud Aleph, which, again, in these editions is on page Yud Aleph and Beis, the Torah Yud Aleph. Now, again, I have to be honest with you. I find, Likutei Moran Shiur, I find this the hardest to prepare for because I don't understand it. I don't understand Likutei Moran. So it's supposed to be the easiest because it's like just going through a sefer. So, you know, every other Shiur is like creating new ideas, but this is a... I find it to be very, very difficult. That's one of the reasons why I picked to do it, is to force myself to learn it. But so last night I was looking at this piece. I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, we can read the words. The words are not hard. But what is he talking about? What is he trying to say? I don't know. So in the Schus of the Tzibur. So if I don't understand it, it's all your fault for not you know. But so if you have a little tefillah in mind that I should be able to understand this, we should all be able to understand this together. But okay, we'll see. We'll see where it takes us. Okay, so Torah Yud Aleph. One nekuda that you do see in this Torah, again, as sort of like an introductory idea, is that it's almost as if Rav Nachman in this particular piece is zooming way out. In other words, what you would initially think of as sort of your goal, Rav Nachman in this piece tells you, like in Avodas Hashem, I'm saying, what you'll find in other Sfarim is like the ceiling. Rav Nachman in this piece is saying, no, it's not the ceiling. That's like basic. That's your starting point. You know what I mean? And then there's a whole universe beyond that. You'll see right away what I mean, hopefully. So again, piece Yud Aleph. So he first quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayah. Only at the end of the piece is he going to tie it back into this pasuk. Ani Hashem hu shmi. So it says in pasuk, I am Hashem. That is my name. Ukvoidi la'achel ayetein. I won't give my honor to anyone else. Utihilasi lipsilim. And I won't give my praise to idols. In other words, I'm God, and that's it. Right? That's the pasuk. Okay. So Rav Nachman says like this: Ki yesh yichud ilo v'yichud tato. There's two madrigas in avodas Hashem. There's two madrigas in faith and emuna. There's what's called yichud ilo, the higher unity, in believing in the oneness of Hashem. There's two madrigas. There's what's called the higher unity, yichud ilo, and then there's yichud tato, the lower unity. Hainu Shema Yisrael, that's the higher unity. Ubaruch Shem Kved Mechus Elohim Levod, that's the lower unity. So for example, Chabad Chassidus talks about this a lot. This is like, you know, their territory. Yichud Ilo, Yichud Tata. So very, very simply, we've spoken about this many times, that when it comes to Amuna in our relationship with Hashem and sort of seeing reality, that's really what these two levels of, you know, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem is about, is how do you view reality? So Yichud Tata, the lower unity, Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Alim Vod, means I view reality as a human being, views reality. There's a world. And there's free will, and there's a creator, and the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, 100%. Parshas Bereishis Noach, Hashem created the world for sure, and I take responsibility, for my actions, and I see myself as a servant in Hashem's malchus, and I dedicate myself towards helping Hashem's malchus to do what I can. That's Baruch Shem Kruchas Levad. That's called the lower unity. In the lower unity, there is still a world that's outside of godliness. Hashem controls it, created it, v'chulu, directs it. But ultimately, there is space for me. What's Yichud Ilah? What's the higher unity? What's Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael is altogether something else. Shema Yisrael is Eino Milvada. All there is Hashem. The world is part of Hashem's world. It's part of Hashem's revelation. It's His story, not my story. That's Yichud Ilah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akein, Hashem Echad. Right? Hu Makayim Eshel Olam. He's the place that the world exists in, not, right? Those are the two ways how you can think of it. Either there is a world, and we have to bring Hashem into the world. That's the lower unity, right? Or, no. All there is is Hashem, and somehow the world is, we have to find space within Hashem for the world. That's the higher unity. So in Chassidus, in Chabad, Chassidus, and so on, that's the goal. That's the goal. To get to Yichud Yilah, to be able to live like that, Einam Ovada, right? So all the Hisboinunos, all the meditative contemplation in Chabad Chassidus is oriented towards trying to taste a little bit of that world. That's called Yichud Yilah. In Tanya, that's the domain of the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik lives in that space of Yichud Yilah. The Beinni, the one that struggles with the Yitzhara, that's the domain of Yichud Tata. But that's what he says. Rav Nachman Safek says, "Ki yichud yilav yichud tatag." And there's the higher unity and the lower unity. Hainu Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kvod Mechus Lavod. The Kolechad Mi Yisrael Tzarach Shiyeh Nasas Aysal Yaday. And each Jew has to unify Hashem on these two levels. And as we proclaim every day, Kabbal Tzimach Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem. So he says like this. But now Rav Nachman says, but the truth is, this is just the beginning. Again, that's why I said that in Chabad and in other Chassidus, like that's the goal. But the truth is, if you think about it, it's a funny dynamic, right? By davening, so Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem, that's these two levels of unity, right? But is that the end of davening? To a certain degree, that's just the beginning of davening, right? So like Pesukah D'Zimra was sort of like, you know, there's different menhagim by Klal Yisrael, whether there's a chazan by Pesukah D'Zimra, right? So most by Svardim, I think the minig is that there's a chazan for Pesukah D'Zimra. By Chassidim, there's a minig. But in the real Litvish world, there was no chazan by Pesukah D'Zimra. Because the only name of Pesukah D'Zimra is really just hachana. It's like you're making your personal hachana to begin davening. When does davening begin? Birchas Kriyishma. But that's the beginning of davening. When's the real davening? By Shmoneh Esrei. So one second. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem, that you're proclaiming and hopefully connecting to a certain degree. So that's it. That's the shpitz. That's it. You did it. And the truth is, midaraisa, one can say midaraisa, that's it, right? Shema Yisrael, davening, again, you know, the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah to daven every single day. But in terms of Shachris Min Chamayrav, you know, in the Zman of davening, that's midrabanan. So, to a certain degree, one can make the argument, yeah, Shema Yisrael is the Iker. Rav Shem Bar Yochai in the cave, right? The Gemara says that people on that level that are just learning all day long, they're pater from davening, but they still have to say Kirishma. So, on the one hand, you could make the argument that Shema Yisrael is the highest thing in the world, but Lamaisa, davening then goes on. Davening then moves on to Shemoneh Esrei. So, what's greater than that? What's higher than Shema? So, as Rav Nachman is saying over here, so every Jew has to connect to Yichud Yilah and Yichud Tatat to Shema Yisrael, but that's just the beginning. Al Yidei Zeh, from there you then move on. Yachalav L'Tfunos HaTayra L'Amka, and this is what's he never in this piece, and not openly at least, goes on to explain what this is. But he says, but ultimately from the starting point of Shema Yisrael, you then reach the goal, which is, I mean, to translate the words, I guess, Litfuna Satur L'Amka, an understanding of Torah to its depth. Understanding of Torah to its depth. So you would think, okay, so that means I like understanding Torah. Now, what becomes strange is that later on in the piece, Rav Nachman identifies Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata, which is the beginning point. He identifies that as Kabbalah and Halacha. So one second. So you So Rav Nachman is saying, so you start with, you get the Yichud Ilah and Yichud Tata. It's like, okay, you made it. Nah. That's just the beginning. Because from there, you're going to get to your real goal, which is understanding Torah to its depth. So that would mean, therefore, that would indicate that the starting point, you have not understood Torah to its depth. Yet later on, he says that the higher unity, lower unity, which is the beginning, is Kabbalah and Halacha. That's pretty good. Person's proficient in Kabbalah and Halacha. No. But evidently, that's what Rav Nachman is saying over there. Evidently, even if you know everything there is to know, which is Kabbalah and Halacha, you have not yet even begun the journey towards understanding Torah to its depth. And that's the beginning. That's the starting point. Yichud Yilah and Yichud Tata, which in Torah knowledge can be translated as Kabbalah and Halacha, but that's the beginning. Now, okay, so Rav Nachman goes on to say, okay, so we have the beginning. The beginning is Yichud Yilah, Yichud Tata. which later on he identifies as an absolute proficiency in not just the Muna, but a proficiency in Torah. But that's the beginning. But there's the goal. The goal is understanding Torah to its depth. What's in between? So what's the journey? So now Rav Nachman goes on to say like this. That's so strange. Someone that's on a very low level, right? Which is, means that you're at the starting point. So not only is Yichud Eilo, Yichud Tata, which means proficiency in Kabbalah and Halacha, the beginning, it's also now being described as Madrega Pchusa. It's mamash a low level, okay? Huadayin Rochek Mitfuna Satara, you're still very far from understanding Torah to its depth. So how do you get there? So at least you're in the beginning. So how do you get out of the small Madrega, right? So he says, Raka de Amtsois Hadibur, Yachalov Litfuna Satara Lamka. The way to get there is by learning Torah, but by learning Torah particularly out loud, by allowing the words of Torah to come out. He explains somewhat. Hainu aideshu medaber ba'tor b'diburim. By speaking words of Torah, which again, I thought you had this already at the starting point because you're proficient in Kabbalah and Halacha. But evidently, it's almost as if the plot, you know, the journey, the whole system that Rav Nachman is setting up is different points in connection to Torah. It's like you start off knowing information. Everything there is to know, maybe, Kabbalah and Halacha. But that's just the beginning of your journey, which is a journey of Torah, but it's just the beginning. And then you actually have to start the journey. And the journey then begins by learning Torah, by, you know, which you know already, but now allowing, as we'll see, as he goes on to explain, to allow the words of Torah to exit your mouth in a way that it's a guiding light for you to show you the path that you have to take. You'll see what he means. Aideshu medaber b'Torah diburim, through your speaking words of Torah. Like it says in the pasuk, "Yichayim heim lamoitziehem," that the words of Torah is life for those. Simple pasuk is that the words of Torah are life for those that find them. But the Gemara darshins in Erevin lamoitziehem bepeh, that moitziehem doesn't just mean like a mitzi, like to find something. It means like hoitzah, to bring something out. So the Gemara says in Erevin, "Yichayim heim lamoitziehem," that the words of Torah are life for those that say it out loud, for those that say it out loud. So he says, Rav Nachman says like this, when the words of Torah then are spoken, Meir loy hadibur, b'kol ha-mekoyim shetzarech la'asis tshuva. So now the words of Torah function as a guiding light to illuminate your path in all the areas that you have to do tshuva in. Again, doing tshuva. This is a yid we're talking about that's already holding by Yichud Eilah and Yichud Tatoa, proficient in Kabbalah and Halacha. He hasn't yet got to the destination yet. And what's in between him and the destination? A lot of tshuva. But how does he know what to do tshuva on? What do you mean, what does he know how to do tshuva on? I don't know. If you have to do tshuva, Mestami, you know what you have to do tshuva on. The answer is, we're talking about a yid that doesn't necessarily know what he has to do tshuva on, because he's holding, by the beginning he was already holding by a big place. In order for him to know what he has to do tshuva on, he then has to say, he has to take the Torah that he knows already, but now articulate that Torah with the intention of it being a tool to illuminate his path. And then when the Torah illuminates his path, to allow him to know what it is that his particular inyan is to work on, then he'll get to the final destination, which is to understand Torah to its depth. That's the plot. So he says, "Kamei Shomer Rav Sinu Zerchan Levrach." Like the Gemara says in Brachas, the Gemara says a Maisa that Bruria, the wife of a mayor, I think it was Bruria, that she saw one of the Talmidim of the yeshiva that he was learning, but he was learning quietly. So Bruria said to him, "Psach picha v'yairu devarecha." Open up your mouth, and your words will illuminate, will become light. So the word, the inyan of light, or Nachman is saying that the inyan of light means to illuminate a path. Like, what do you need light for? To see what's in front of you. So it says there's an inyan of Torah, which is like knowing Torah, but then there's a Torah that functions as illuminating one's path. And that happens when it's spoken out. U'bakol pam v'pam, ayde kol tshuva v'tshuva, and through each, you know, each of these types of experiences and illuminating the path of tshuva, who hoylich madrega madrega, a person moves from one level to the next level, atshayotz madrega p'chusa, until you get out of that low state, u'bol atunas atarlomka, till you get to your destination, which is knowing Torah to its full depth. That's the mahalach. So again, what is no? You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. So this is Parshas Lech, yeah? So Avram Avinu is mentioned at the end of Parshas Noach, right? But the story of Avram Avinu begins in Parshas Lech. Avram Lech Lech Amyartzuch. So where was Avram Avinu holding by Lech Lecha? Where was he holding by Lech Lecha? So the Rambam says, right? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah tells us where Avram Avinu was holding. Avram Avinu was holding by Yichud Tato and Yichud Yilo already. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that at the age of 3, he began to make cheshbonos to try to figure out who created the world. And then, says the Rambam, Ben Arboim Shana, Hik Ravam is Brairai, at 40 years old, he chapped. And he recognized his creator, right? This level of knowledge of Avram Avinu at 40 years old means Yichud Tato, that's a lower unity. In other words, like the Rambam goes on, the Rambam explained that he used Cheshbonos to calculate there must be a creator because there's the world, and he's figuring out from the world that there's a creator. That's called Yichud Tato, that's a lower unity. And because of that, he dedicates his life to be a good soldier in Hashem's army. That's Yichud Tato. And then the Rambam goes on to say that he began to, as a good soldier in Hashem's army, he tries to quash any rebellion against the king. So he makes public debates, and he begins to prove to everybody that there's a creator. Fighting the king's battles. That's Yichud Tato. As we mentioned on Shabbos, he wasn't matzliach really in changing people's lives. But then the Rambam says an amazing thing. Rambam says, Kivin shagover lein bar Yosef, once Avram Avinu, was overwhelmed people with his proofs, Bikesh hamelech lahargai, the king wanted to kill him, right? Nimrod. Says the Rambam, Nasalei nes, a miracle happened, Biyotze lecharan, and then he goes to Charan. What's the nace? So that's the being thrown into the fire, right? And he survived that. Why does Rambam have to say that? Mamanushach. If the Rambam wants to talk about the nace, then say what the nace is. If you're not going to talk about what the nace is, then why even mention it? I mean, your point is, the Rambam's point is, that he left Ur Kasdim, and he moves to Charan, and he begins, and that's Lech Lecha. So what is, okay, so what? Why is the Rambam... If the Rambam finds it necessary to highlight the nes, then talk about it. If you don't find it necessary to highlight it, why mention it at all? The answer is as follows. Nasalei nes, what the Rambam is hinting to is that at that moment of Ur Kasdim, of the fire, Avram Avinu ascended from Yichud Tato to Yichud Ilo. Because Yichud Ilo means... Yichud Tato, the lower unity, means proving that God exists. But I don't see him, I don't know him, there's no revelation of him. I just know that he exists. What's Yichud Ilah? Yichud Ilah, the higher unity, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Kinesh Echad, is all there is the Rabbanu Shalom. He's the most real reality there is. That's a revelation of Hashem. Nasalei Neis, the miracle of Avram Avinu by the fire, wasn't just the fact that he survived the fire. Every miracle means a revelation of Hashem. Nasalei Neis, the Rambam is saying, is that Avram Avinu then upgraded from Yichud Tato to Yichud Ilah, to Har Unity, where Avram Avinu was no longer just, he knows that there must be a God with proofs. He saw it. He sees it. He's experiencing it. That's called Yichud Ila. But all of that is before Lech Lecha. So then what happens? So Avraham Avinu is already holding by Yichud Ila, Yichud Tata. And what does Hashem say to Avraham Avinu? Now Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, V'yemer Hashem l'Avram, Lech Lecha mi'artzecha mi'adcha beis avicha. So, right, move from your Lech Lecha mi'artzecha, from your country, from your birthplace, right, from like the neighborhood, and from your father's home. So all the Mefarshim ask, Lucius Levi, all the Mefarshim ask, 1 second, the order is the reverse. If you're leaving, what do you have to, first you leave the home, then you leave the neighbor, then you leave the country. What's Hashem saying? Leave the country, then your home, then your neighbor, then your home. So what the Mefarshim say? That Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu Lech Lecha, that you're not just taking a physical journey, you're doing tshuva, you have to expunge, you have to divest from yourself all the negative hashpois that's happened to you. And the way that works is, the easier thing to take off is the hashpah from the country. The harder thing to take off is from the influence from the neighborhood. The hardest hashpah to take off is the influence from the family. So that's what Hashem is saying. Lech lecha, go to yourself. Go to your true self. Me'artzecha, me'ladcha, be'savicha. And this, so 1 second. So what Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu is to do tshuva. But Hashem, what's amazing is that Hashem doesn't tell Avraham Avinu exactly what the path is, right? Lech lecha, what's the path? Avraham Avinu has to find a way to illuminate the path for himself. But this is the beginning of Avraham Avinu's journey. What do you mean, the beginning? I thought he had emunah yichud ilo yichud tato. That's what Nachman is saying, is that yichud ilo yichud tato is the beginning. So, but Avraham Avinu now begins Lech Lecha with that journey. It's interesting, you know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 nisyonos, right? So how do you calculate those 10 nisyonos? Where does it start from? So most Rishonim say, interestingly enough, most Rishonim say it starts from Ur Kasdim, the fire. Maybe even before, there's a chazal that Avraham Avinu had to hide in a cave for a bunch of years, because of Nimrod. Those are nisyonos. Rashi says like the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Vilna Gaon, many Rishonim, Achrayim say that it starts. And the trials and tribulations of Avraham Avinu began way before Lech Lecha. The Rambam says not like that. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah over there, in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam says that the Asar Nisyonos, the 10 trials and tribulations, begins with Lech Lecha. But why? What about the fiery furnace? Why was all that? That's not a Nisyon. The answer is, this is the plot of Avraham Avinu's life. The beginning is Yichud Ila, Yichud Tata. The destination is after the 10 trials and tribulations, where Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Chayisara, right? The final test was Sari Aminu's Petira. So then it says in Pasuk, Avram Zokin Ba Bayomim, that Avram is old and full of his days. So what is he doing? Sitting in a hammock and just like going on vacation now? He's on vacation now. No, that's Avraham Avinu at that moment was able to finally get to the destination, which is knowing the Torah to its depth. But what's in between? What's in between is all the 10 nisyonos. And the 10 nisyonos, each nisyon was another aspect of Avraham Avinu working, doing tshuva on himself. And somehow... But this is what I said in the beginning, is that like that journey, that's why to a certain degree, maybe we could go a little bit deeper with this. I mean, Yichud Ilo, Yichud Tata is still, how's that the beginning? So it's interesting, it's the beginning. I mean, if you're seeing the Rabbanu Shalom vis-a-vis the Creator, then Yichud Ila, Yichud Tata is the highest thing, right? But if you're trying to get to the Rabbanu Shalom that existed before creation, then even Yichud Ila is just the beginning of that. Because what's Yichud Ila? What's the higher unity? The higher unity is that everything in this world is an expression of Hashem. Yeah, but that's Kleinigkeiten. That's very small when you're trying to get to God Himself of before all of this, right? It's like, you know, it's like if a person writes a book. A person writes a book, so he has characters in the book, and you know, there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi. These are characters in the book. So, So a shaita, when they read the book, so a shaita thinks that these people exist. There's a Reuven, there's a Shimon. And yeah, there's an author that sort of was just like watching and, you know, recording what happened. But that's called Yichud HaTata. But then there's a higher unity, which is na-na-na. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, these are expressions of the author. These are his imagination. This is what... But the truth is, so now that you read the book, so can you say after reading the book and knowing about all these authors that you know, that knowing about these characters, that you know who the author is? Not really. You know an aspect of the author that he was revealing in the book. Right? So obviously every author, if he creates a story with his imagination, the storyline tells you something about the author. But does it tell you everything about the author? Rather not. It shows a little bit of a... we say in Pasuk, Molei Kol Aretz Kavodai, right? The whole world is full of Hashem's kavod. So in we translate that in the Aramaic is Malia Kalara Ziv Yikare, right? That is in Avolatzian. Malia Kalara Ziv Yikare. The whole world is full. Ziv Yikare. What does Ziv Yikare mean? Ziv Yikare means a ray of Hashem's kavod. One second. The words were Molei Kol Aretz Kavodai. The whole world is full of Hashem's kavod. But the Targum translation is, the whole world is full of a ray of Hashem's kavod. So Baal Tanya, many places in Likutei Torah, Tarar, he makes this observation, is that, and in this observation, even the Baal Tanya indicates that Yichud Ilah is just the beginning. Because the Baal Tanya explains, what does it mean, Ziv Yikare, that the whole world is full of a ray of Hashem's kavod? The Baal Tanya says, mamish this point, that the whole universe, with all of its complexity, on the highest of levels, you name it, going all the way, that's all just like one thought, like one passing thought in Hashem's infinite mind. Ziv Yikare, it's a ray of Hashem's kavod. It's like an author that's like a kipsa, like one moment allowing himself to imagine, he created this unbelievable... 10-volume novel. But it's absurd. So when you read the novel, so one madrega is to read the novel and to think that these are actual events that the author is recording. That doesn't tell you much about the author. That just tells you there is an author. That's Yichud HaTata. That was Avraham Avinu before the Nes of Ur Kasdan. Then there's a higher madrega, which is no. This is not a history book that the author wrote. This is a novel. This is fiction, whatever. This is this is the imagination of the author. Oh, so this tells me something about the author. But really all it tells you is Ziv Yikare, is a ray of one piece of a thought of the author. But what if I want to know the author himself? That's a much deeper journey. That's a much, much deeper journey. So now you're talking about knowing the author, somehow finding the author himself through the novel. But not just from the words of the novel itself, but finding the author himself from the novel. That's getting to the depth of Torah. Because the only way to find the author is through the novel. That's the Torah. That's the only way to do it. But there's two ways to engage. It's either like, okay, this is the information, and this is the author. But it's like, no, this is not the author. This is a ray of light from the author's mind. But this is my way in, right? That's my way in. But once I get in there, so it's like, the Rambam then goes on to say that when Avraham Avinu is in Eretz Yisrael, and he's trying to be makar of the whole world to Hashem, so the Rambam quotes a pasuk. The Rambam says, "Shenemer that Avraham Avinu is calling the world to Hashem. The Yikra Hashem that over there in Eretz Yisrael that Avraham Avinu called out, B'shem Hashem Kel Olam. That's a pasuk I think in Parshas Vayera. B'shem Hashem Kel that Avraham Avinu called out the name of Hashem, the God of the God of the world. B'shem Hashem Kel Olam." So I was thinking about it. Why does the Rambam have to quote that pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha? And the Rambam's point is to try to show us that when he got to Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu was involved with calling out Hashem's name, to get everyone to be makar of the world. So the problem is that in Parshas Lech Lecha, you also have psukim like that. It says in Parshas Lech Lecha a few times, V'yikra Hashem b'shem Hashem. So why does he have to quote the Parshas Ve'era? V'yikra Hashem b'shem Hashem kel aylam. Maybe I'm thinking now, the Rambam Mamar Nevuchim teaches that pasuk. What does it mean, b'shem Hashem kel aylam? What does it mean, kel aylam? What does it mean? So the Rambam Mamar Nevuchim teaches, kel aylam means the God that existed before the world. That's the Rambam teaches in Mamar Nevuchim. B'shem Hashem kel aylam. I call out the name of Hashem. Who's Hashem? The God that was before the aylam. Why does the Rambam quote that pasuk? It's because that's the inyan. Avraham Avinu in the beginning knew who Hashem is as the creator of the world, both on Yehudi Tata level and even Yehudi Yilal level. So I know who the author is because this is the author. That's not the author. That's your entrance into the author's world. But ultimately, to know the author, that's when Avraham Avinu is at the end, Zakein Bo Bayomim, Zakein means full of wisdom, complete knowledge. What's interesting is that the ultimate knowledge that Avraham Avinu, the ultimate level of knowing the author of Kel Olam, so what does it say in Pasuk? So Avraham Avinu Zakin Baba Yamim, Vashem Berachas Avraham Bakol, Hashem blessed him with everything. And what does Avraham Avinu do? So Avraham Avinu then goes to make a shidduch, to find a shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu, to begin to build the Jewish people. So it's an amazing thing. So when you get to the Torah to its very, very depth, and you know the author, mamish, you know the author. Not just the ziv yikare, not just the ray of light from the author, but from that ray of light, you then journey into the author himself, so to speak. And what do you find over there? What is the root of all things? Where does everything come from? Again, because ultimately, again, this is the basic in Emunah that we have to always remind ourselves. God himself, it's unknowable. So ultimately, the only, even when you enter into Kel Olam, the God that comes before the world, you still have to, it's still a space that Hashem is allowing us into. So what is the very, very beginning? What is the very, very beginning? It's interesting. I don't know. I was just learning this morning before. Maybe it's now clouding my thinking now. But Shachas right now. So what's the beginning of the story? So it's interesting. In the Kisvei Ari, so in Eitz Chaim, from Rechai Vital, the beginning is everything was just infinite light of God. Like and the beginning is when Hashem makes a space, so to speak, and hides himself to allow room for us. Like that's the beginning. There's another school from the Ari HaKadosh, from Rabbi Yisrael Saruk. And the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yisrael Saruk actually talks about like what was going on in that infinite light. So it's like the beginning of the journey, like Yichud Eilah and Yichud Tata. Okay, that's knowing Hashem as the creator, and that's where Rechaim Vital begins. Because Hashem is the creator, that story begins when there's an empty space, and in that empty space, now there's worlds that are created. That's the beginning of creation. That's Rechaim Vital. But that's really the beginning. But if you want to know the creator himself, it means that you have to know what's going on in that infinite light that came before the empty space. But the empty space means like the construction site. So that's the beginning of the construction. That's the beginning of creation. But if you're trying to know who the author is from there, like really know who the author is from there, that means that you really want to figure out what was going on in that infinite light that was before the construction site. Like who's the author that even sat down to the table to write the book? Right? So it's like the book means the construction site, now it's an empty page, and he begins to write. But I want to know who the author is. So in the writings of the Rizal, it's like you want to know what's going on in that infinite light. So Rechaim Vital doesn't talk about that. Rabbi Yisrael Saruk does. And what does he say over there? So what's the highest thing? What's the ceiling? What's the ultimate ceiling? You know what the ultimate ceiling is? It's Pilei Ploim. The ultimate ceiling is, Rechaim Yisrael Saruch says, the ultimate, beginning before beginnings. The Bereishis before Bereishis. Was that the Ribbono Shel Olam thought about Yidden and was just so excited about the Metzias of Nishmas Yisrael that that joy, that inner pleasure that Hashem had, so to speak, within Himself about the ultimate reality that's called Nishmas Yisrael, that motivated Hashem to bring out of Himself even the infinite light. These are secrets of the universe, so we're not going to understand it. But what you do see is that the very, 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 very beginning of all beginnings, the deepest thing we can know about the author is how much he loves Jews. That's the thing. That's... So when Avraham Avinu reaches that final destination of Zakin Bo Bayamim, what does he then do? He then dedicates himself with Eliezer and so on to build the Jewish people, to make a shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu. Because that's really knowing the author. Like when you really, really know the author, not just like through the Torah, obviously, that's through the, you know, but to really know the author means to realize like how deeply God loves Jewish people. That's the ultimate storyline. But that's the journey Avraham Avinu had to have between knowing Hashem as the creator and ultimately realizing like what Hashem really, really adores more than anything else. And how deeply Hashem is connected to the Jewish people, which is knowing the Torah to its depth. Knowing the Torah to its depth. And that's what you find in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Yisrael Sarug, this inyan of that initial thought that Hashem had about the Jewish people. That's the origin of Torah. The origin of the Aleph Beis. It's hard to explain. But the origin, the very, very beginning of Torah came from that initial pleasure that Hashem had in envisioning the Jewish people. So when you talk about the very depth of Torah, the very depth of Torah is bound with that pleasure that Hashem had in thinking about the Jewish people, which gave birth to the Aleph Beis. What I'm saying, I know, doesn't make any sense, but that's what you find in that Beis Medrash, that the very, very beginning. The very, very beginning, which is the emergence of even the most basic elements of Torah, which is the Aleph Beis, came from Hashem's pleasure in thinking about the Jewish people. So when you get to the Torah to its ultimate depth, it's Klal Yisrael. It's Hashem's Eskashos with Nishmas Yisrael. That's what Chazal say, that Hashem was Nimlach B'Nishmei Seyem Shei Yisrael, that Hashem spoke it over with the neshamas of Klal Yisrael to decide to create the world. One second, I understand. It says in Pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Rashi says, Bishvil Yisrael Shnikareishis, that Hashem created the world in order to have Klal Yisrael, in order to have Torah. But then Chazal say that Hashem talked to Klal Yisrael to decide to create the world. I mean, that means that Klal Yisrael already existed. This was an inner conversation with Hashem. It was an inner conversation within Hashem of like, imagining what Nishmas Yisrael is, and that's what motivated creation itself. That's what began the creation. Starts with Torah, but you know, the very, very beginning of Torah means the very, very beginning of creation means the Aleph Beis, and the motivation to create the Aleph Beis was out of the pleasure that Hashem had in thinking about Klal Yisrael. That's the Torah to its depth. That's what Avraham Avinu reaches at the very, very end, and therefore he dedicates himself to build the Jewish people, to give to get a son, a wife. For his son. What's in between Yichud Ilo, Yichud Tato, and that ultimate journey, that ultimate destination, are the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. A path of really getting to the core and understanding what God wants of you. Because when you get to that ultimate destination, you realize that Hashem really, really loves you. Like, it's not just like theoretical Jewish people. Like, guess what? You're a Jew, right? So it's like Hashem really, really loves you. Well, in order to allow yourself to experience that, then you have to you have to get to that core of yourself. So says Rav Nachman, so the journey is tshuva. But what type of tshuva? Stam that he did, you know, Hashem Nebaganu. No, it's a tshuva that you need the words of Torah to illuminate within yourself of what do I have to do tshuva? Like, what's my particular avoda? My particular avoda means like, who am I? Well, once I go through that, like, in other words, like, the starting point is to know who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, who's the creator, he's the creator. Yichud etato, yichud eiloh. But that's the beginning, because ultimately it's about knowing who you are. Because when the ultimate destination is to realize that, like, that God's interested in you. Right? In the beginning, it's like you're interested in God, right? But ultimately, you realize, one second, that's the beginning. Because ultimately, God's interested in your story, not the other way around. So there's this gap. Like, in the beginning, I'm focused on who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. The destination is to realize that God's interested in who I am. So we have to meet in the middle. I have to, like, you know, sort of get there. And the way I get there is by realizing how important my story is and how important my avodah is. And the Torah was created for me. And there's a certain mahalach and avodah Hashem that I have to take and I have to be involved with. And I need the Torah to illuminate my path. What do you need the Torah to illuminate your path for? You know what to do. Say Maidan in the morning. You know, like, what's so complicated? The answer is, yeah, but what's my Maidan? Like, what's, that it should be, that I should know what my place in the universe is, and what's my avoid, what's my personal tikkun, and how do I strip away Meladcha, Artzcha, Meladcha, Beisavicha, to find you, to find pure Avram Avinu. Not the Avram Avinu that is part of Artzcha, not the Avram Avinu that's part of Meladcha, not the Avram Avinu that's part of Beisavicha, but who is Avram Avinu? Because once you identify who is Avram Avinu, now you could realize how much Hashem is thinking about Avram Avinu.
And really know Kadosh Baruch Hu.
And you can know Kadosh Baruch Hu, because that's the point. Because Hashem is thinking about Avram Avinu in his purest form. He's not thinking about Avram Avinu as he's part of Artzcha, Meladcha, Beisavicha. Hashem is thinking about you, mitzad you. But how do you... So it means that you have to find that within yourself. And that's the path that's in between. Of realizing that until now you have a lot of information and you're a very good boy and girl, but now, and you've been focused on who the, but like knowing the Creator, but now you realize, one second, but the Creator wants to know who you are. So I now have to go on a journey of Torah that illuminates my life to figure out who I am and what's my place in the world and who, and, you know, what's my name. If I know what my name is, then I can realize that Hashem is focused on my name, and my name is Hashem's name. That's the ultimate goal. Okay. We'll see about that. Bez Hashem, Hashem should bless us to be able to begin, middle, and end to get to the destination. Bez Hashem, Mashiach.